My name's Stephen Neal, pastor at Alden Bethel Church and blogger at Building Jerusalem.
And my name's Stephen Watkinson, church planter in Rochdale and blogger at Northern Souls.
So we are now an independent church from Alden Bethel Church. We kind of absolutely finished that process just before Christmas. And we thought it might be interesting to talk about some of the thinking around why people plant in particular places, or at least how we have thought about that, how we might think about it in the future. So, Steve, when it came to planting in Rochdale, what was Alden Bethel's thinking around supporting that?
Yeah, I think there were several things going on. So I think number one, we know other churches in Rochdale, some good churches that we would happily send people, think they'd be discipled there okay, and taught the gospel there well and things like that. But they were on a totally different side of Rochdale, not even in the town itself. They were out, so
adjacent town.
Yeah, so we kind of felt like there was good scope for a church more in an area like ours in Glodick, whereas the other church we know is really a white village, really a white town on the way out. So that was one reason. The other reason really was opportunistic. Obviously, we knew you were leaving the Church of England, and we were obviously talking about that for some time anyway. And I guess I had two things going on. I mean, I suppose one was the spur of guilt, where I'd spent so long telling you to leave the C of E, it kind of felt important to at least help you do something, given that you thought you were doing what was right. It seemed a bit wrong to say, and now, good luck.
See ya.
Yeah, thanks for doing that. Anyway, good luck. So maybe a bit of that, but not really. The other thing was, we just thought you had been in Rochdale, particularly in an area like Glodick, in Deeplish, where it just seemed a real shame to us to see, you know, several years of ministry and contacts in the town go up in smoke effectively, and for there to be nothing to those people. So we thought, well, rather than you're there, you know, rather than try and bust somebody in and start something fresh, you've got years of experience behind you in that area, knowing people, knowing the area, knowing the town. It just made a lot of sense to us to say, well, there's the opportunity here, there's a person here, there's a group of people who want to do it and want to be part of that area. It's in a different area to the other church that we would send people to, and it's accessible by a different set of people, I think. So all of those things kind of were at play, really.
Yeah, so in many ways it was, I mean, obviously we came up from a particular place where we were coming out of ministry and trying to, we felt we should try and plant something for the people. The same within Rochdale itself. It's always difficult when you talk about the churches, isn't it? Like, there are lots of gospel believers in other churches, and that we you know, would have loads of time for. But we were looking for a particular, we want to be sort of thoroughly evangelical, Bible teaching, gospel centered, not particularly charismatic, that kind of thing.
I think it's the other part of our reasoning really was, we do get people moved to Rochdale periodically, and we need somewhere we can send them.
Yeah.
And the area they tend to get sent to is not where this other church is, and it's difficult for them to get to. So the fact that there was the opportunity. The opportunity was there to have a place where we can direct people that they can actually access and get to when they get moved away from us. It just made a lot of sense to us.
Yeah. And so in a sense, for this one, for both of us, it was kind of a set of circumstances. This is, let's try and do this because the set of circumstances align that mean it's worth doing, which is slightly different, I guess, from quite a lot of church plants. So quite a lot of church plants are more like, it would be good to plant a church, where should we plant a church? Now, I don't know if that's necessarily a right way of thinking, but I think it's a positive way of thinking of kind of going, actually, we have the resource, the situation, we see the need, we want to plant a church. If that's so, I'm not aware of any situations for you at the moment, and we're not in a place to do it, of kind of going, we have an obvious set of circumstances coming together, so we're going to plant here. But if you were thinking next, what are some of the things then that you begin to think about? I mean, some of them would be the same, I guess, but.
Yeah, I mean, we are thinking again, to be honest, going where could we plant? You're quite right. We're not the kind of church with lots of resource. So
So
we
you're not
don't.
about to spend four send 40 people off with
We don't have an
Okay.
ex we don't have an excess of people who could do it, and we don't have a great deal of money where we could do it and sustain ourselves. So all those things are at play. So if we did it, we would have to basically identify a need and a place and go, now we're going to try and raise funds externally and get a planter externally and try and build a team. And some of those might come from us, but I would imagine the vast majority would probably come from elsewhere to come and do that. In terms of what we're thinking, so we actually have identified a town nearby. And the bottom line is we get people move there periodically away from us. We get asked, is there anything nearer you can direct us to? And the short answer to that is no, not really. If they're in this particular town, the nearest thing I can direct them to is as far west of them as we are north. There's some stuff that's slightly closer, but it's still a bit of a trek. But I think they'd be okay. But I think, again, there are various discipleship issues there that you go, if there's really nothing else, go there. But it's not somewhere I would be actively wanting to encourage people to go to. So there seems to be just a dearth of anywhere that I can send people to in that area. So I think that would be my primary thing, really, which is I'm not aware of anything in a place that I could send people to, and it's quite a frequent issue for us to have to find something for people in that area. And the answer is there isn't anything. So I'd like to basically provide that and do that so that they've got somewhere they can go.
No, I think one of the questions that usually comes up in that, and basically, people they want to be more charitable, I guess, than you're sounding towards other churches in those places. So it'd be like, surely there are other like believers in that place. Surely there are other churches and that sort of thing. Which let me say, is almost inevitably true, at least in towns. In the UK.
No, I disagree. So I do think there are areas where, so it depends what you mean. So there may be believers, but no church they can go to. So there are areas I'm aware of where you might have believers in it, but they are driving two other churches out of that area because there's nothing nearby. So you might have that, but there's certainly areas where there's no church there. So I don't know whether that's necessarily true.
No, see, I think that's but you know what I mean though, in terms of the usual criticism of having a plan for a church plan like this is something along the lines of, but what about this church? What about that church? Especially, I suppose I'm thinking, I think you're absolutely right, actually, in more sort of isolated towns and stuff, but in a kind of Manchester, Greater Manchester, I mean, type setup, because everything's connected, someone will automatically go, well, I know this church and the guy there's all right, or
But
how do you kind of think of that?
we all draw lines though, don't we? That's a thing. So, for example, I would like to think any evangelical who went, oh, there's a Christadelphian church or a Unitarian church there, would recognise that really is a crossing lines that are deeply unacceptable. They don't believe the gospel. They don't believe in the person of Christ. So, we would all agree there's a line there. Now, the question really is, how far to the right of that line do you need to go before you hit something acceptable? If you basically just go, well, okay, they're Trinitarian and they believe that Jesus is the Son of God, does that then make them acceptable? at which point you've got the local Catholics you could send them to. And if you go, well, okay, there we go, let's go a bit further, and let's say essential gospel. So they believe salvation by faith alone, in Christ alone, and they believe in the Trinity. Is that enough? Well, in my view, I would say you could get some pretty wonky churches that would affirm that, but not really anything else, and actually might teach you some incredibly damaging and incredibly unhelpful stuff. And I think most of us would go, if that's all you've got, just an essentialist gospel message that amounts to like two sentences, that's probably not going to get you very far in your Christian walk or be very helpful to you. So again, we all recognize something a little to the, and it's all a question of degrees, isn't it? Some of us might stop a little closer to others. Some of us might stop a little further away, but we're all saying that there are churches I would be comfortable directing you to, and there are churches that I wouldn't. And if you push me hard, are there believers there? I just think that's a very weak argument, a weak position, because do I think there are believers in the Catholic Church? Well, on balance, if you push me hard, I'd have to say there probably are. But I think they're believers in spite of what they're getting from that church. Now, then you go to the right of those sorts of places and go, well, okay, here's a, you know, swinging from the chandeliers, health and wealth, prosperity, gospel preaching church. Are there believers there? Well, yes, because I've met them. But would I encourage anyone to go to that church? No, because I think you're going to get some incredibly unhelpful stuff. So it's all about degrees and where you draw your lines, isn't it?
And that's just helpful, because I think we're not mostly sort of planting totally virgin territory, are we? And sometimes it's easy. So sometimes it's like you're planted in this place. The only church there is the Anglican Church, and it's just liberal rubbish. Well, okay, why would you not? I believe there are probably Anglicans who would not, but there other times it is more of a judgment. I mean, we are, for example, very near what is probably the other Bible teaching church in Rochdale. Well, it's a bit harsh. There are other Bible teaching churches, but the one that it would be aligned to us. But it's a Church of England church that we don't really think has any future. Now, they'll really strongly disagree with that. But in truth, we think we need to build something for the long term in Rochdale, and it's not that. And we're kind of sad they wouldn't get on board, but they didn't. So like you say, you draw lines, don't you? So that's a kind of strategic line. Obviously with us, with the Church of England, there's doctrinal line now as well. It's helpful, isn't it? So it's not that. I think sometimes people, so assessing need isn't a kind of thoughtless thing where you kind of go, well, there isn't someone exactly like me there, so I'm just going to plant a church. It's actually something, you know, in the place you're talking about, you're thinking, is there some, so I've got a bunch of people who I want to send to a localer church, as in, it will be a local church, but local to them church. And I can't at the moment, or at least what I could send them to. I mean, we were talking about somewhere else before we were started. There was another town sort of around Manchester. We were kind of going, well, there's places we would send them to, but we would recognize some of the limitations of what we were doing. But we'd kind of go, you know, they need somewhere local enough that they can get to, and that's them being able to do that is better than any alternative kind of thing. And it's not an unthought, I suppose what I'm getting at is that it's not, you don't just kind of, it's thought about, isn't it, that kind of thing, that you have to really think about it, and you do think about it.
Yeah, I mean, you do your best, don't you, to say, well, what is there already? And you do your best to say, and where do they sit? And you know, you've almost got like a sort of concentric circles, haven't you, of, you know, different levels of acceptability, or if we're being more honest, different levels of closeness to us, because basically the most acceptable church you're going to think is the one that's effectively closest to you in reality. Otherwise, you'd be doing something different, wouldn't you? But you're going, okay, well, how close are these guys to us? For example, do they share my Baptistic principles or not?
Mm-hmm.
So they might be close to me. But then, of course, you know, Baptist Union might share my Baptistic principles. But there's a whole load of reasons I wouldn't send them there. And I'd rather send someone to you who doesn't, you know. So it's not always about closeness on that. Sometimes it's closeness of theology. Sometimes it's closeness of practice and culture. Sometimes it's my main concern for people really is, if I sent people here, what would they learn? Would they grow? Would they be helped in their walk with Jesus? If I can say yes to that, I might say, do you know what? There's something there. It might not be perfect. It might not be what I would do, but I think they would genuinely be caused to love Jesus more, and they would be helped to grow, and they won't get damaging teaching and damaging stuff to encouraged into. So those sorts of churches, you might go, they're not perfect, but I'm more than happy to send people to them. There's another kind of church where you're going, they might share some of my theology, and they might share some of my sort of principles and ecclesiology and things like that. But realistically, I look at how people would be discipled there. Could I, hand on heart, say, go there and you will be helped to grow and you won't get damaged or won't get taught things that are damaging? And if I can't say yes to that, then I say, I can't do that. So it's more about that. And exactly on, I can't say, if they're Baptist, I'd send them there, because they're a Baptist, I wouldn't send them to. And I can't say, if they're pedo-Baptist, I wouldn't send them there, because they're a pedo-Baptist, I would send them to. It all, there's just so many factors, but really you're just looking at that broader picture. Would people be helped or not if they went there? Would I be serving them by saying go there, or would I actually be damaging them by saying going there? And if I'm basically saying there's either nothing to send them to, or only things that are going to damage
I'm not very comfortable with.
then I'm basically saying, well, the only answer to that, as far as I can see, is to plant a church.
I think it's just helpful, isn't it, to sort of spin that out. Most times when people have planted churches, I think they get criticized for, why haven't you, know, you should have gone and helped this church, or you should have, you know, that or the other. And actually, most of the time what you're saying is, look, in one sense, all power to gospel believers in other churches, you know, we want the best for you. But in exactly the same way that you wouldn't come to my church, I wouldn't go to that church. And that's okay. And we're trying to do something, you know, we want people to come to faith through their ministry. But we think that what we're, as you know, because we want people to come to faith through faith ministry. But actually, we think there's a need for this, because we are actually looking for something that, you know, we think is doing important gospel things that aren't being done.
Yeah, I think where I think this can go wrong, so I think we've talked about why we would go to particular places.
Yeah.
Actually, I think where it can go wrong is when you're looking a bit further afield. So it's very easy for me to go, I don't know, I've probably said this as well, I might be right, I might be wrong, I don't know, but take somewhere like Burnley, that would be a bit further away, or if I looked into West Yorkshire in certain places there, and it's very easy for me to go, oh, there's nothing there. You know, either there is nothing, or nothing I could send anyone to. Some of that, you might be right, but at the same time, when there's that distance there, and you're not necessarily as au fait with the area, there may be places that you miss that are legit and reasonable. But because of your distance, you don't know. So I think that can sometimes backfire. So it may be that there actually are churches that you could have sent people to, but you didn't know. Or the other way it can work is you might get people from one city looking at another city going, that city's broadly underchurched, let's go and send a load of people there to plant the church. Now that in and of itself might be valid and might be reasonable. But I think if you're going to do that, you want to be very, very careful that you are sure to find the like-minded churches, wherever they happen to be, and ask them locally, what do you think there is? You know, do you realistically think you can reach everybody in these places? Or, you know, are these people unlikely to come into your orbit, and would it make sense for us to have something up there, and that sort of thing? And then there may even be a case for saying, perhaps a church in one city might want to partner with an existing church in a city, and then kind of plan out from that existing church. At least that way you're doing it more in partnership with a church rather than what often happens, I think, which is dumping a church in another town going, there isn't anything like us, and then getting everybody's back up when half a dozen churches go, well, we're quite like you, and we're here, and no one's really talked to us. I think, so I would say often the further away you are from something, the less you know about the scene there, the less you know about what's around. And I think that very often leads to judgments that are not, maybe not fair.
And it's difficult, isn't it? Because probably, I mean, one of the things I always used to say when I was in previous church, would still say now, look, someone can plant right around the corner from me, and if they get people in believing the gospel, then that's great, because there are 200,000 people in, 110,000 people in Rochdale as a town. And as far as I can see, we've got a tiny percentage of them going to any kind of church that, you know, you could, and part of me just, I still think, you know, in truth, if someone came along and was doing something more effective around the corner than me, you just have to praise God for it, don't you? And go, I mean, it's quite, I would sort of obviously feel it's kind of a shame you're doing it around the corner from me, but actually you're doing it, and there's like thousands and thousands of people here, and if you're reaching them, that's great. And I kind of get that in general, especially if you looked at a city and went, wow, you know, okay, there might be two biggest churches in that city, but as far as we can see, there's hardly anyone going to church in that city, and we can just plant somewhere. And that's true. And it is always true. I mean, I just don't think there are many places in the UK where you wouldn't go, there's space for another church with a few hundred people in here.
Certainly in cities, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if you're in a really tiny place, that might.
Like 10 village churches, a village of 1,000 people might be pushing. Yeah.
We're all going for that 1,000. But yeah, I think there's real potential in there for kind of, like you say, just there's more strategic ways of doing that and less strategic ways of doing that. And
what is kind? There are ways you can do it kindly. So you might say, look, your city could do with more people, your town could do with more churches. Whatever. I think those are valid things to say. You know, I mean, you and I would look at our boroughs and I think we would go, look, realistically, am I going to reach 240,000 people on my own? You know, even with our church that's growing, you know, are we going to manage that? No. Half of them wouldn't set foot in our area. And of those that would, our building couldn't hold the capacity. I mean, and there's so many factors there. And you just think, realistically, will we do that? I equally think you've got to say realistically as well, are we genuinely expecting 240,000 people to all convert and all come into local churches? No, I don't think that's a realistic expectation. Do I think you would want those 240,000 people to have a church that's accessible to them? I think that's a fairer thing to do. But then obviously you have questions about, well, what does accessible mean? Does it mean if you've got a car and you can drive to it, that's fine? And actually I'd say for the most part, the answer to that's probably yes, it is. So you have those sorts of thoughts as well. What's the, like where I grew up in my teens, I was in a village in the middle of nowhere. Do you know what I mean? But what that meant was everybody had cars. And so the idea that, you know, there's a church 15 miles away. Well, that's what everybody did. You go there because we're so used to it. My school was further away than that. You know, my everything's far away. The nearest city, the nearest town was further away than that. So if you live in that area, you have a car. That's just how the culture works there. Even the poor people either have a car or get lifts, or they find ways to get to those places because you can't do it any other way. Whereas in cities and things, the culture can sometimes be different and people might not leave a local council estate or whatever. And so if you don't have a church on, say like Withenshaw, for example, you don't have a church on Withenshaw, a lot of people on Withenshaw wouldn't think to go off of Withenshaw. They might get a tram into the city centre, but that'd be about it. So again, you've got to think about the culture and the place. And I think minimally, the kind thing to do would be to see what's there. Okay. Now you might see what's there and go, I still don't think this is like us, in which case you might want to plant there anyway. If there are things like you, I think the kind thing to do is to talk to them and say, look, could we partner in this way? Could we maybe come to you and then plant out from you? So it's not a
church in, you know, London planting in Manchester just because they thought that would be a good idea from a distance. But it's actually a church in London resourcing a church in Manchester for a time, and that church in Manchester then planting a church themselves. That might be a, you know, a kinder way, or even just talking and saying, look, can we, is there a way we can do this together? Is there room? Is there scope? You minimally, you're just less likely to get people's backs up, I think, if you do that. And that just seems like a sensible thing to do, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think, like, I suppose, like I say, most, maybe I'm wrong, I think most pastors recognize a couple of things. One is there's room. There's almost always room. Mm. And actually, you know, and alongside that, the truth is that what we recognize is that if that thing comes to our town, it will probably make it harder for us. Mm. And that's probably true to it. It's probably a short-term thing, to be honest, that. But there is a sort of instinct, isn't there, that there's a new thing setting up. People might want to go and join that. New people who come will hear about that, all that sort of thing. And I think it is hard, isn't it? I think just keeping that sort of charitableness to it's still good, isn't it? It's still good. If I mean, I genuinely look at it and go, I remember just thinking in Rochdale, so 110,000 people, and I know you doing the maths is a bit spurious, but you just kind of go, like, 1% of that is 1,100 people, and you just go, I don't think there's even that many people in any kind of church, and there might be if you added absolutely everything up, but I doubt it. And you sort of go, wow, I mean, surely we can do better than that.
But you look UK-wise, do you know what I mean? And we're, what, they reckon best estimates is about 2 to 3% meaningfully.
Is that Bible-believing or evangelical?
No, well, they say evangelical, and I think they're being very charitable about evangelical. Yeah. I think it's kind of people who go to church very regularly and people who are in, some sort of evangelical church, but I think they're quite broad about that. So they say, you know, the best estimates you've got, I hear, is it's 2 to 3% of the population are evangelical. And so, okay, if we're going to mirror the population, we might do better, we might do worse, but realistically, if you've got 2 to 3% of people in your area in a church, you're not doing badly.
Yeah. And I guess, I mean, so there's the way of viewing that again. I mean, I can't do the maths definitely, but I would feel we were quite away from that in Rochdale. Really quite away.
Oh, and I'd say the same here.
And you would kind of go, I mean, you would actually probably need another four or five churches with 50 to 100 people in them, something like that. You know, I think that would be my take, probably. And so even if you were just, as part of what I'm saying is there's almost, even at that sort of level of, we're not trying to go forward, we're trying to sort of get ourselves up to the normal level. But even beyond that, if you want to move forward, you know, so there's, in one sense, there's always space. In the other sense, there's also, like you say, kind of try to do it kindly and also try to do it wisely. Like what might be practical, what might work, all that kind of thing. I mean, I think it's quite interesting in your, in one sense, I can totally see there's been quite a lot of this in the last 20 years where people have kind of done a blank sheet of paper with England, say, and gone, they've then plotted the churches that they know about that are good, maybe done some work to find out some more, and then gone, where are the holes? And sort of, well, we need a church there, we need a church there, we need a church there, sort of thing. I guess that's one way of doing it, but that doesn't feel... Yeah, go on. Tell me what you think of doing that, because my instinct is that is too blunt a tool for it.
I think if you look in scripture, right, the first church started in Jerusalem, and then they went out where they knew there was nothing, and then they planted a local church in Ephesus and in Corinth and in other places. And having done all of that, Paul goes, I've now done the work of the gospel. And all you've got in most of those places is, for quite a big city, one church. And Paul says, but I've done the work of I've basically completed the work of the gospel. Was it from Illyricum to somewhere else?
But he, you know, he goes, the work of the gospel's been done. And I think the reason he can say that isn't because now there's no more people to reach, because we're 2,000 years on from that now. There's quite a lot of the world that they haven't gone to yet. The reason he could say that was, I've planted a church in that region, and now what's going to happen in that region? Well, local churches plant local churches, don't they? So you might have a church in Corinth, right in the middle of Corinth. Well, then they will plant in the region that no one else has heard of, but they know. And they'll plant in another region that no one else has heard of, but they know. So I think there's something to be said. If you know there is nothing in our region, however you cut up region,
nothing,
whatever you think about that, if you're aware there is nothing in a region, then I would say go and plant. That's great. If you know there is something in that region, I think, well, okay, you've got then two questions, haven't you? Can we get that church that is there, if they're sound, to plant out? Can we resource them so that they can have another church in that region and plant other local churches into the areas that they can't reach so easily? Or if they can't or won't or don't want to, can we identify the local region then where they're not and they're not going to reach? But you're only really going to know that from a distance if you talk with them. But I do think, you know, there is some sense in going, look, where are their churches and where are they not? There's not much point in me coming up to Rochdale and planting a church next door to yours and going, well, this was needed, because it isn't. And I think there's a lot of sense in saying, look, the fact is London and the southeast, however you cut it, whether you do it by head of population or sheer number of churches, it's the most church part of our country. That's because you always say it's the most church. And you go, oh, there's more people in London. And you go, yes, but even per head of population, you have more churches than anywhere else as well. So the fact of the matter is, I'm not saying the southeast couldn't use more churches or shouldn't have more churches or whatever. That's for them. But what I would say is, surely our emphasis and our desire should be first to get churches where there are none. And obviously, you know, if you knew, and I don't think this is true, but if you knew there was nothing in Scotland as a whole, you know, I think it should be a fairly high priority to say, well, let's at least get one there. And then you've got one in a major centre that might start to plant out into other regions later. If you know you've got less churches in an area than another area, it makes sense to me to focus on the places where there are less, particularly if it's per head of population and there are areas where you're not reaching, where that in effect have no church. But you, and then the more churches you have, the more you tighten in your regions, don't you? So, you know, in friends of ours who have been in Turkey in the past, their church was the only church, and they called themselves the Protestant Church because they were the only church anywhere for several hundred miles. Now, is there room for more churches there? Yeah, of course there are. That church is not going to reach a 300-mile square radius.
Well, it would make sense to work out from that church.
Yeah.
Because if you're sort of saying that's how Paul thought about it, there's a logic to going. So instead, I mean,
minimally talk to them and say,
yeah, in contact with, yeah.
What area around you, where do you think you can reach?
Yeah.
Let's go and plant in at nearest the next area over what you're saying. I don't think we can really cover that. No, I mean, I think that is just sensible, isn't it? So I have no problem with getting your map out and going, where are the churches? Let's aim for where there's none. There's a sense in that. What do you do when there's tons of churches in the area? Well, okay, I would say let's cross that bridge when everywhere has them.